the part of the word that is laid upon one's spirit to speak to you from this afternoon. It is in the 61st chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, and it's the 10th verse. The 10th verse, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I believe this is a soul that is greatly blessed, favoured, blessed to know and taste redeeming love, the love of Christ shed abroad in their heart. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Of course, this chapter is a chapter relating to the offices of Christ in the earlier verses. And now it is the wonderful favour of all what Christ has wrought and brought in, as we know it in Gospel Day. Oh, here it is the favour that God grants to his people, the rejoicing in Christ Jesus. You know what the Apostle Paul writes and states in Philippians. He says, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. God so works in his people to bring them to a time of rejoicing. There is much they have to know of sorrow, trial and tribulation, but God's purpose is to bring them into the favours of his love, to so be filled with love divine, which all loves excelleth, and to worship God in the favour of knowing and tasting of his wonderful redeeming love. And here it is, I believe, coming to the highest favours of the love and grace of God, rejoicing in this way. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Oh, the Lord God Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father's love in giving his beloved Son. Think of it in the depth of the reality of it, friends. Oh, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's often come to me, friends, like this. God so loved his people that he punished his dear beloved Son for their sins. Think of it. Oh, have you ever had a view of your sins laid on Christ? In Isaiah 53, we have it clearly stated, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The church can say that. It is the church of God alone that can say that. Those that are blessed to be in Christ Jesus, God's people. Oh, the Lord, Lord, it's God the Father that laid on his beloved Son all the sins of the whole church of God, the family of God. Think of it. Oh, is it your personal favour and mine to see your sins all laid on Christ, to have a view of Calvary, oh, the scene of matchless grace, Jesus in the sinner's place. Have you had such a view, oh, to see your Lord there, suffering in your room, place and stead? This is what is here, I believe, in this word. It is the wonderful blessings, and we know in Gospel Day especially, we know, having more light than Old Testament saints, we know that this is what it means. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, the garments of salvation. Oh, the word of God in the experience of it. Oh, what is given in the word of God, of God's way of salvation. Wonderful things of that which Christ has come to do, come to attend to. Oh, how he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is what it means. The garments of salvation, it's everything Christ has done for his people. Oh, the way that he came down to this earth, stooped down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise. Oh, are you led into this? The wonders of redeeming love. Oh, wonders of grace, to God belong. Let his people raise their song. God so loved us and gave him, the Son of God loved us and gave himself for us, friends. Oh, how he thus came to this earth, the Son of God, took upon him human nature, sin accepted. In that miraculous way, he was found in fashion as a man, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This word bespeaks of Christ's sacrifice. Oh, I will greatly rejoice. As we read in the Psalm 45, all that the psalmist felt in his heart, indicted in a good manner. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. You know, dear David, King David, it wasn't touching him, it was the King of Kings he was viewing by faith, touching the King, King Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, the King of Kings, he who came to this earth, he who suffered, bled and died on the cross of Calvary. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. It can mean, of course, the Lord God Jehovah, but of course it means the Son of God, it means the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Friends, in my God. So are you in it? Does this apply for you, in your case? I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Oh, and he still, those words, pen those words, my God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine, may I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. Oh, is God your God, friends? Do we know? You know, in the great high priestly prayer of Christ, he has this such love, such perfect love, and exercise a desire for God's people. He said, they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Oh, do you know God, the only true God? And do you know Jesus Christ whom God has sent? And oh, do you know Jesus Christ as that one who sacrificed himself for you? Oh, is it your favour to know and believe that he bore your sins in his own body on the tree, that he came to save you and me? I hope we can say he came to save us from sin and death and hell, and more than that, to save us unto heaven, that we might be there in heaven. And you know, it is here, it is, I find my heaven. While upon the Lamb I gaze, love, I'm much forgiven. Can you say it? I'm a miracle of grace. The word then is this: I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Oh, what a great favour this is. Oh, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. What we need to consider, friends, is what we know of and believe regarding the Son of God. He came to this earth. He kept the whole law of God. He kept the whole law of God and made it honourable on his people's behalf. And his people, clothed with the garments of salvation in the way they believe in the favours that Christ has wrought and brought in for the church. And the favour is by believing, and it is that each one of God's people will be brought to be true believers in Jesus Christ. He will be made very precious to them. He will be the one thing needful. Oh, is it your favour, mine, to fear and know Christ as the one thing needful? Is he your Lord and your life and your all? Is he mine? Is he yours? And now it's this, friends, that he came to keep the whole law of God. He kept the whole law of God and made it honourable on his people's behalf. And so that, like we have in one of the Psalms, that it should be that we, ministers of the gospel, we should speak of his righteousness, and of his righteousness only. It's his righteousness that his people must know and be favoured with, be granted. Oh, it is in this way God's people blessed, are saved in the Lord. Oh, it's righteousness to the believer, freely given, God the giver. And this is what it means here, this is what it states here. Oh, how he's clothed with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Friends, this is a declaration, a statement, a testimony of souls that are blessed, souls that are favoured, to truly know the favour of God, the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow. I will greatly rejoice. Oh, what a favour this is. You know, the favours of God's love and grace are preached in the sermons preached. They surely are here. And it's God's will and purpose to bless souls. His way of saving souls is by blessing, by dealing with precious souls according to his will, and causing them to be blessed to know and taste redeeming love. Why is it we need to be brought to know and taste redeeming love? Because we've all sold ourselves away from God by our sinning, and we need redeeming. I want to speak in this way upon redemption. Redemption. You see, God's people, to be brought to this time of rejoicing, they must be blessed to know and taste redeeming love. Oh, we've all sinned ourselves away from God. Oh, we're all deservers of being cast away from God. But God has purpose to save. The number which no man can number is family, his children that he sovereignly loved, set his love upon, even before the foundation of the world. And in time, the Lord has purpose to do his work in them, to save them by his grace. And it's these characters that God set his love upon. He will so bless and so bring them to rejoice in this way. And I put it in this way to us each, friends. Are we, are you, am I brought into the favour that is here, that is so wonderfully expressed in this rejoicing? I think of a word also in Romans where we read, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. This is the reality of exercise given by the Spirit of God to God's people to bring them to this place and time of special favour. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord God. The Lord God Jehovah, Father, Son and Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, to save our souls, friends, are all concerned because of the will of God, the sovereign love of God, the favour of God to his people. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. These characters who have had so much, they've had to know of sorrow, sorrow for sin, sorrow under guilt, felt guilt of sin. Oh, how we have to know sorrow, godly sorrow, work his repentance unto salvation, and the favour in this way as God works in his people, he brings them to so vitally be in need of salvation. And salvation is by redemption, is by what Christ has done. Oh, Jesus is our great salvation, worthy of our best esteem. He has saved his favourite nation, and the exhortation in that theme is, join aloud to sing of him. Christ has saved us. None but Christ could us redeem. And so, friends, these characters who rejoice in this way, they know redemption. They know the favour of believing in Jesus Christ, that he has given himself. Oh, the word, given himself a ransom for many. He ransoms poor prisoners by his blood and brings the wanderer back to God. Oh, he does it. He has done it. And the Holy Spirit blesses precious souls to know and taste redeeming love. Oh, is this your favour, friends? Redemption by price paid by the Son of God. You know the way that we read in Isaiah 53, also he's led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep dumb before his shearers, so he openeth not his mouth. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed us. Oh, this is the Son of God in all his blessed work here on earth, his blessed loving heart, going in that way, like we really set his face as a flint toward Jerusalem, to go there to suffer, bleed and die in his people's room, place and stead. Oh, this is what we rejoice in. We rejoice like Paul to the Philippians said, rejoice in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. But friends, the blessed confidence, the confidence in Jesus Christ, is given by the Father by faith for his people to believe in his beloved Son, and all the Holy Spirit ever testifies of Christ, takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them to God's people. I will greatly rejoice. Friends, is it you? Is this your favour? I will greatly rejoice. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Oh, how favoured God's people are when they can, as it were, take up these words of the dear prophet. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. And then it's explaining, it's testifying what the Lord has done, what he's done. This is the way of these favoured souls, how it is that they rejoice. The explaining words follow. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Oh, this is what the blessed soul rejoices over. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Oh, how God so blesses his people that they are blessed to believe in Jesus Christ. They are blessed to know and love him, to feel, to know and taste redeeming love. Oh, he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. You see, he takes away the filthy garments that we've all got, and he changes, gives us the change of raiment. Yeah, oh, what a favour this is, to be blessed to so feel and be under the favour of God's love and grace. Oh, you know how it is that this is so. It's all what Christ has wrought and brought in, and God's people are clothed with the garments of salvation. It's the favour of believing in Jesus Christ. It's the favour of knowing and tasting his love. Oh, these wonderful ways of God in blessing his people. It's as they are blessed to believe in Jesus and know his love and feel love to him in return. We love him because he first, think of John's words, how he puts it in his epistle, we love him because he first loved us. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he is the propitiation for our sins, blotting them out, putting them away. Oh, his people redeemed by Jesus' blood, redeemed. His beauty is killed to trace. No angel can be more esteemed than sinners saved by grace. The favour of this, having this favour, he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. What a great favour it is. God's way of blessing souls is to favour them to know redemption and pardon and the peace that flows in with pardon, sin, the favour, feeling the favour, having the favour of pardon of sin. Holy peace flows in to the soul. God's people blessed Feeding upon Christ, living upon his merits, the favour, most divine favour it is that God grants. And then this clothing in this way and this covering. Oh yes, clothed me with the garments of salvation, covered me, covered. Oh, what Christ has done covers the child of God. It hides them from all the terrors of God's law. It saves them from sin and death and hell and unto heaven and all the way. You see, in the word it states that there shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defileth or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life, and they that are written, the children of God, they can never go to heaven in their natural state. They must be saved by grace. They must be prepared for heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Oh, God must prepare. You pray for it. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And this is the way of God preparing. In Christ's obedience clothed, and wash me in his blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. This is the way souls are prepared for heaven. And no, it's the washing in the, and the cleansing, the washing of water by the word, where the wonderful word, this is the clothing in the washing of the water by the word of God, blessing his people to be so blessed to feel the favours of the word of God applied to them. And then the holy, blessed application by faith of the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, he's clothed me with the garments of salvation, covered me with the robe of righteousness, as we're redeemed, we're saved, we're blessed. And oh, God gives, he adds blessing to blessing. We have it in the word, he will abundantly pardon. Oh, what wonderful theme it is. We step back in Isaiah's prophecy to the 40th chapter. Oh, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord double for all our sins. Double. Oh, what is needed is given. Oh, everything. No sin left unpardoned. Pardon and peace through the blood of the Lamb. The favour, oh, holy favour, forgiveness and pardon, and the peace that flows in. And so, in this way, coming to this higher note of acknowledgement, you see, it was with me, if I may bring a personal note, that I used to look at the hymn that begins, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. This flaming world's in these arrayed with joy, shall I lift up my head. Now God had given me some sweet tokens of his love. And going along in the years, as I mentioned this morning, 1962, and going along in those two following years, you know, it was one greatly desired and prayed that we might know the favour of forgiveness and pardon. And also, if it could please the Lord, he would bless me to know and enter into these things of what we have here, the robe of righteousness. Oh, to know that the Lord had so blessed and favoured one, was one's desire, was one's prayer. And oh, we come along to the year in the time of the year of just before Easter in 1964, and we had the favour sealed to us of redemption and pardon. And it was under the words, as in the Song of Solomon, the words, "Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee." We've been begging for it, praying for it. Sometimes you may hear your pastor mention this. He knows he has it. He feels it, and the favour. Oh, what a favour. When God so speaks, "Thou art all fair, there is no spot in thee." And I believe "all fair" means washed in the blood of Jesus, clothed in his righteousness. And oh, you know the highest note of blessing is justification by faith, and it's Christ justifying righteousness that his people are blessed to know in the high favours of his love. And this is what is here in the Word. It's Christ righteous, covered with the robe of righteousness. And then the descriptive words, "as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." Holy favour there. Covered with the robe of righteousness. Oh, it's the favours one after another granted, applied to the child of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, clothed in his righteousness. Oh, and justified by faith in him. Oh, these great favours are to be known, friends, are to be experienced by individual souls in the church of God. This is how God prepares his people for that prepared place in heaven. They are blessed, they are washed, they are cleansed, they are sanctified. They are made to be so much different to what they were by nature. They are clean. "I am clean. Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." You think of it. Oh, it's a word. I think that word is in John's Gospel. "And ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." It may be that you have had a signal blessing. You look back to, you remember. Oftentimes you may want it renewed again. But you may feel that that word of blessing, that favour you had, is not all what you need, and you may not actually feel the favour of the cleansing, even though you've had a sweet token of God's love. But if you think of it like this, how the Lord said, "And ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you," it perhaps is that you should further consider what you have already had. If God has spoken to you of favours of redemption, surely you are clean. You are washed. You are sanctified. Oh, it may be in this way you look back remembering and how you felt God's blessing, but you may have gone on many years after that and not feel the real assurance you want to feel. And then God speaks in this way, "Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." What he spoke maybe years ago, and you didn't feel the full favour of it then. But now, in this way, further considering and remembering, and God speaking again, "Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Oh, the reality of that. Favour, that real favour feeling, the cleansing virtue of the precious blood of Christ applied to your heart and conscience. I always think of it when, as I may have made known to you before, but it was given to me when I was a young man to go and fetch ministers to come and preach here. One of the ministers was the pastor of Ebenezer Chapel, Luton, and I used to go and fetch him, especially on a Wednesday evening, and that dear man in his old age, he wouldn't say much to me in the journey. He would speak and acknowledging and thanking one for fetching him and so on. But I remember one particular evening when I fetched him, and he preached that evening on the Passover, and he spoke of how the blood must be applied to the heart and conscience of God's people. He said the doorpost and lintel is typical of the heart and conscience of God's people. Oh, friends, I put it to you now. Do you feel that you had the application, which is, of course, by faith, of the precious blood of Jesus to your heart and conscience? Oh, this is how sin is put away, blotted out by the blood of Jesus. The way of God is to grant to his people the favour by faith to believe that they have the holy blood of Jesus applied to their heart and conscience. This is how poor sinners know redemption, pardon, and the peace that flows in. This is how they're blessed. They're blessed in the favour of believing, receiving the atonement. Paul writes of it in the early chapters of Romans. He said, we have received the atonement. Oh, is this your favour, friends? It's what is to be known as God blesses souls. But going on now more particularly to the robe of righteousness. Think of it, friends, the robe of righteousness, the holy garment, the garment wove by everlasting love. Oh, he hath clothed me, covered me with the robe of righteousness. Only think of the fig leaf garments. Think of those fig leaf wove together by Adam and Eve. And how they covered themselves in that way. Oh, what the Lord could see them through and through. He knew what they had done. Oh, he knows what you have done. He knows everything about your guilt and sin, your sins. Oh, our sins, which are many, they are known of God. God is holy. He cannot look upon sin without complete abhorrence. He must punish sin. Think of it. Think of it. God will punish every sin committed by every soul in every time, all the years, the centuries of time, the many, many sins committed. God will punish them all, every one of them. But, oh, friends, like I made known this morning, you know, oh, this is a vital point of consideration. Our sins punished in the substitute. Did the Son of God suffer, bleed, and die for our sins? Were our sins laid on Christ? This is what we need to know. And if we know this, our sins laid on Christ, that Christ bore them away, that he atoned for them by shedding his blood, I believe such favour known will also cause the child of God to want to be led on and to be led into more of the wonders of God's grace. And the more wonders of God's grace to know and experience are these favours that are here in this word covered with the robe of righteousness, washed in Jesus' blood, covered in his holy righteousness, righteousness imputed by the Spirit given to the child of God. They are clothed by faith, friends. Oh, every experience the child of God knows is by faith. Faith in the bleeding lamb. Oh, what a gift is this. Hope of salvation in his name. How comfortable it is. It is. Oh, so blessedly opposite from the things of sorrow and sadness under conviction of sin under the law of God. Oh, the favour of being blessed to know the comfort of God's love in the way of God's pardoning love, hearing his pardoning voice, and more than that, even the favour of having by faith this favour to believe that we are covered with the robe of righteousness, that Christ's righteousness is imputed to us, is given to us, is applied to us, is put on by faith, friends. God gives the child of God the faith to believe. It's in the favour of believing that God's favours are known. Oh, everything of God's favour, all his perfect purpose and will for his people is known by faith. Faith is the brightest evidence the child of God has. It's very bright. It's wonderfully bright. It's glorious. It's the glories of Emmanuel imputed to us. Everything that Christ has wrought and brought in is imputed to us. Oh, righteousness, as I may have quoted already, within thee rooted, may appear to take thy part. It does. Sadly, it does. Oh, we've got our own self-righteousness. This is a burden of sin that we have it, really. Oh, if we are trying to comfort ourselves with our own right speaking, our own right living, which is a great folly, because we're not rightly living, we're not rightly speaking, we're not rightly in anything exercised as sinners. It's the grace of God alone that saves. It's the grace of God alone that brings a child of God to be well grounded. Oh, grounded upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Everything else is of treachery, of folly. All of ours is. It's what Christ, what God does in us and for us that makes us well grounded. Friends, oh, the favour then. It's our righteousness is a rule as filthy rags. Have to be done away with, have to be stripped away from us. But the favour then, to be clothed. Oh, well, it's painful to be stripped. It is, according to the flesh just likes this way of God. But God's way is to strip his people, to make them bare before him. Oh, that he can see them through and through is a solemn reality they must know. And oh, then, his wonderful favour. Oh, he takes away the filthy garments and he gives the change of raiment. And the holy raiment, the holy covering is the royal robe of righteousness wrought out by Christ. You know, in the 45th Psalm, we read there that the king's daughter is all glorious within. She is clothed and it's with garments of needlework. Think of it. The needlework. And you know, when we've sometimes used needles, we've pricked ourselves, maybe quite badly. and the blood's run. Show me her hands, perhaps fingers, but think of it. The needlework of Christ, what he went through, what he suffered. But oh, in all what he went through, he was holy, separate from sinners, no complaining. Oh, here he suffered. Oh, in that way. Think of the needlework. Think of what he went through. Think of the crown of thorns pressed upon his head. Think of what he suffered in Gethsemane. Sweat, as it were, great drops of blood fall into the ground. But in all of this, right through the judgment hall, the place of the pavement led out to Golgotha, the place of the skull, oh, there crucified, oh, the holy sufferings of Christ, what he suffered, what he bore, what he went through. Think of it in the way that we read in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he has put him to grief. And as we think of it in all this that he went through, he was perfectly holy. He wrought the righteousness needed for the church, keeping the whole law of God, making it honourable on his people's behalf. And oh God, God imputes his favour. Oh, thy sins by imputation his, and his obedience thine. His obedience in keeping the whole law of God. And God blessing his people, sealing them by the Spirit with redemption and pardon, and blessing them even in the higher favours of the love of God, the love of Christ, clothed with the robe of righteousness, covered with the clothed with the garments of salvation, covered with the robe of righteousness. Well, friends, as we preach these things here this day, I do hope there is in some, especially I hope in all, could it please the Lord, a real desire to know these things, to know and taste of these wonders of redeeming love, the wonders of redeeming love here set forth in this way, what is so stated with the confidence of faith. Think of it, these words so positive in the favour of knowing them and experiencing them. He hath covered me with the garments of salvation. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And further descriptive words, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. So the Lord so wonderfully works and blesses his people. And in this way, as in the concluding words, God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. You know, throughout the world, like we sung in the first hymn, where'er God's people meet, there they behold his mercy seat. Where'er they seek, be thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Friends, oh, do you feel it personally, the favour of it? Thinking of the whole world, and God's got his people throughout the world. His people is his church, is one church in the wilderness. We need to be careful not to just think that we're the people of God and maybe despise others. We do know and believe that God has his people throughout the world. He is one church. We should pray for, we should love all those that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. Many may be blessed. This is my heart's desire, that many may know and taste of the wonderful love of God, the love of Christ. Oh, we are looking for it, we're praying for it. We preach the word, we preach it, having an exercise for souls, that God would bless souls. So I commend you, friends, to meditate upon this word. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Friends, it's not to say that we can do anything for ourselves, but oh, it's by faith, by God's blessing, by God's imputation. My sins, my imputation is Christ, Christ suffering in our place, and all what he has wrought and brought in by his being here on earth, and as he's now ascended up in heaven, and what he is attending to now in his offices in heaven, pleading his people's cause in God, in that court of heaven. Friends, this is what we must, by grace, be brought to rely upon. Oh, everything for the child of God is there. Faith granted them in exercise, maintained in them, to live by faith upon the Son of God, to be blessed to know him who loved us and gave himself for us, to be living, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. This is the favour that God's people are blessed with. May we each know it. It's my heart's desire and prayer. Amen.